What's going on? You're listening to the Long Island Sound Podcast, your source for everything Isles and the only Islanders podcast to be complete and utter frauds. I'm one of your hosts, Damon Vetteri, and I'm joined, as always, by Ben Cohen.
What's up?
And sometimes by Kenny Ivero.
What's going on, guys? Consistently inconsistent.
That's it. Bringing the heat. I'm bringing
What's
the
up,
heat
bro?
To start.
Come on, man.
All right, so we got some stuff to talk about. We have four games to dive into, starting with Montreal game, Vegas, Dallas, and Tampa. Then we're going to get into the dark, gross depths of social media, specifically Twitter, which is probably the grimiest of them all. And we found a real winner. So we're going to share that with you guys if you haven't already seen it. And then we're going to get into the New York Islanders OK Boomer or Boomer OK. No, it's OK Boomer. Yeah, that Yoda meme has me backwards all the time. OK Boomer moment with the fish sticks. So before we get into all that fun stuff, gentlemen, how are we?
You know, like work's winding down as far as like the personal aspect goes. So, you know, it's going well. I'm just trying to get my taxes and all that stuff in order. So that's very fun. Our squirrels are all gone. That's official. Like, really, we actually got two of them. So that situation's over with. That's
I feel like, yeah, the way you described it, there are more than two squirrels, though.
No. We thought there were. But I think the exterminator guy just kind of like, oh, there's – I kind of told him there was two, but he didn't believe me, which I understand. You know, I'm sure customers tell him all the time, oh, it's just one and then it's seven. But I kind of
– Was he like Quint in Jaws? I can't go down with two barrels. No, not with two barrels yet.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't think I'm ever going to call an exterminator again. I think I pretty much got the grasp of it the first time. It's super expensive for no reason. I just don't really – I don't like rodents or animals, you know? Like, I don't want to deal with getting bit or going up in an attic or something. So I just hire someone
to
do
that. That's usually how superhero origins, you know, pan
out. Yeah,
it's a lot to go out. You could be like Nut Boy.
There you go.
I'm really really confused right now, and I'm like, doubting myself. Because, admittedly, I'm not a movie person, which is, like, I love movies, but I don't watch enough. And you just made a Jaws reference, a movie I've seen that I did not get the reference of. And off air, you made a Home Alone reference. Like, we're talking about my childhood movie that I did not get the reference of. And I, like, am I having a bad day? Or how do you
know?
Well,
Ben, I'll explain this to you. I'll explain this to you. There's three reasons. A, you were too young when Home Alone first came out.
Fair.
Two, you may not have seen it as recently as I have, which was a week ago. And
definitely.
B, I probably screwed up the movie reference anyway. It might have been two barrels, three barrels. I don't remember. It may have been three barrels that Quinn says when Jaws goes under. But anyway, and that's how you do a quote movie within a quote. You see that? You see
Although,
how
to be
that
fair,
there?
I've only seen Jaws once, and it was actually on Martha's Vineyard, which is kind of a cool place to see Jaws, like, in a movie theater in, like, on close to Cape Cod.
Yeah, that is pretty sweet.
I have not seen it more than once. I don't watch enough movies.
You ever seen Black Hawk Down, Ben?
Nope.
You have not seen Black Hawk Down.
Jesus, dude. That's
I'm telling you,
that's, like,
I don't.
That's intense. Put that on your list, all right?
Name a classic movie, chances are I haven't seen it.
Have you seen Goodfellas?
Stop listening to so much John Mayer and watch some movies.
I'm not going to stop listening to John Mayer. Cause...
What about Goodfellas? Have you seen Goodfellas?
Nope.
Oh my god, this kid, dude.
Okay, so...
Anyway, let's watch the Islanders movie.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about horror.
Oh.
The New York Islanders in Montreal. Offense.
Okay, that's unfair. The Islanders are too good to be a horror movie.
That game was pretty gross. That was
okay.
No, hold on.
I blame Kenny because we were recording the day of the game, and he was already counting that as a win. And as soon as Montreal goes up like 2-0, I'm like, son of a, this kid counting points.
No,
we got
honoring every single one of their past great players that night. I mean, obviously they were due. Plus, they were going into it with like a 8-game losing streak. So honestly, in hindsight, if I knew that, I probably would have been like, you know, money's on Montreal to figure it out. Because do you see who they honored before the game?
That was I mean, they honored everyone, but like specifically when I see Kirk Muller, my night is already rotten. So now you add the Islanders losing to them and having to see Kirk Muller be honored, it was just a gross evening all around.
Yeah.
Of course Chip was gonna score in that game. Like it was like written in the stars on their night of honoring captain.
Yeah.
Oh, that guy is so good. Huge fan.
Yeah, it was a rough, you know, they were down 3-0. They clawed their way back, made it 3-2, and then Weber iced it with an empty netter. So they dropped it 4-2. I mean, we're getting into the point in the season now where it's kind of like the December of mediocrity. It's like win one, lose one, win one, lose one. So like they really have been doing that since the last time we recorded. You know, it's just been kind of back and forth. I thought they laid an egg in Montreal. I thought they woke up too late in that game. But then I thought they really had a great game against Vegas. I mean, back at home, I thought we took it to the Knights. I mean, it ended up going to overtime, but I would take the Islanders playing like that on most nights and them getting, you know, them getting the W. So I thought that was a real solid performance. Pulak had a great, great goal to, you know, a nice lucky bounce, but really finished it strong. So yeah, that was a nice bounce back from kind of a not so great game in Montreal. And I will say this: we debated about Cal Clutterbuck. The dude scores first goal of the game, right? And I'm sitting there. And I'm waiting. And I'm like, I thought for sure that Ben would say something on Twitter, like right away. What I didn't realize was that he was writing a dissertation to me on Twitter. And that's why it took so long for him to put something out there.
Hey, it wasn't right away. It was like later in the game.
He has been playing better, though. I mean, not just that one game, but now that he scored, I'm like, all right, let me pay attention a little more to Clutterbuck. I mean, listen, if he's healthy, he plays good. It's just I just feel like it's like a ticking time bomb. Like, all right, well, we got another couple weeks of this until one of these three guys get hurt, and then it turns into a carousel on, you know, again. So I don't know.
Well, Martin was almost out again the other night. His shoulder was kind of messed up. I thought for sure he wasn't going to come back, and then he was all right. So.
Like, for example, on that Martin hit that I think it was on a Martin hit that was like blatant boarding. I forget who it was, but there were a couple calls this week. Just like, how do you not call Kotkaniemi like football tackling Matt Barzal?
Oh, I know. And then Clutterbuck got high sticked in the face and missed the rest of the game. I think that was England. Was it England who did that? Yeah. Right, it was the Vegas game where he took it right in the mush.
Matt Martin was like having none of it. He just not even Engelin, mostly Engelin's deep hair guy. I forget who he plays with, but Matt Martin was just abusing the Vegas defenseman in the hits tally in that game. I want to get up his hits tally, but it felt like he hit them like 10 times.
Yeah, no, he was flying out there. So that was a nice bounce back. And then they go to Dallas, and for whatever reason, I kind of had a bad feeling. I know the last time that they were in Dallas was when Devon Taves made his debut and they won and all that. But like, I have more blowout memories. I think I still have a little bit of shell shock from the Dougie blowouts. And like these, when they go to Dallas, I just for some reason I'm like, I don't expect them to play. Like, it's just not a good matchup. They're like a bigger team. Now coachless as they fired Jim Montgomery for unprofessional conduct.
Why? What happened? Like, what's the reason?
They haven't said. They said it's not criminal related and it's not something involved with past players. So who knows? Maybe he rubbed somebody the wrong way. That's been like a weird franchise over there. You know, you have Jim Neal calling a lot of his guys out with, you know, Ben and Sagan. And I don't know what was going on over there. But yeah, they just fired him today.
It's going to be crucial who they get in next, because we're looking at, I mean, the Elks are a team that can go somewhere.
Well, you know who's managing the bench right now? Rick Bowness from back in the ugly Islander days. He was an Islander coach for a year or so.
Something like that.
So he's taking the duties right now. Clearly they were not anticipating having to do this. And I mean, they have a winning record, so it's not like they were, you know, it's not like this was coming. So real interesting. But
my expectation though was that it was something like post Bill Peters, Mike Babcock related, like similar. Yeah. Like something that wouldn't have happened without that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the NHL is having their Me Too moment kind of right now, and that's fine. I mean, there needs to be accountability within reason. You know, if guys are saying things and acting like, you know, general morons, I think that's okay. What I hope is it's not getting into this like ticky-tack stuff, because every coach, not that they get physical, but like, you know, they'll hit you on the back of the helmet to get you going. They'll, you know, like that's like normal stuff. If this is where we're going, I don't know. I'm a little worried about that. But we don't know what happened with Montgomery. We just know that he's out. And we know that you know, the Isles took a big L in the big D. I mean, they really looked the score wasn't as bad. I mean, they got down 3-0. Realistically, it was mostly because their penalty kill was ineffective. Matt Barzal took two kind of stupid penalties, and Dallas made them pay both times. I thought that Trotz maybe would sit Barzal, but we needed the offense. I mean, the line blender's been going big time this month. Trotz is trying everything. Now he's got Ross the Boss on the first line. With Barzy and Bailey, and it's kind of working out. I mean, I think
he's not bad, dude.
He's not.
He's really not.
He's not a first liner. I mean, yeah. We all know that. Really? But I mean, he's out there to protect him. If I love Josh Bailey to death, but if Barzal had a dynamic winger on that line, and then you put Ross out there with them, I'm cool with that all day long, because you let that dude protect those kids. Like, that is – I have no problem with that. Well, Josh Bailey being on that line, I don't know if that – like, it's working right now, which is cool, but I don't know if that's – I don't know if that's sustainable. I mean, that's not enough to be a three. You're not winning the Stanley Cup with Ross Johnson on your first line. I'm sorry.
And, Damon, I forget if it was Butch or Brendan who made the reference to how Zach Kassian plays with McDavid and Draisaitl.
Right,
Bailey isn't Draisaitl. Like, I love Josh Bailey. He's not Draisaitl. Also, Ross Johnson isn't Zach Kassian. I mean, like, love Ross Johnston. Like, not the same level. I think it would be more along the lines of if you were able to pick up someone like Taylor Hall and then putting like Anders Lee on that line. That would be more along the lines of what they have going in Edmonton. Do you think?
Right. No. For sure. I mean, this was this wasn't as bad. I thought they played a worse game in Montreal than they did in Dallas. I mean, you can't go 0-for-2 on your penalty kill and expect to win the game. I mean, Dallas, they were perfect on the power play. When the Isles took penalties, they capitalized. And really, this was a game where you saw when they were, you know, it didn't feel like the Philly game way back when during the streak where everything was just going in and they were down 3-0 and they come back. Like, you just had a feeling they weren't coming back from that deficit. I mean, it was just the offense has been sputtering a little bit, and then but the last game against Tampa, the offense comes alive. Isles put up five on the Lightning, and you know, they played McElhinney, so the Isles faced Tampa's backup. But really from the get go, and our boy Ross the Boss gets the Isles on the board first with a snipe off the circle. You know, posting in. I mean, really a beautiful shot. But, you know, I don't know if it's a bad matchup for Tampa or what's going on. I mean, I think they're still in shock and reeling from the playoffs last year. They are not the same team. Not even close.
But at the same time, I mean, the Islanders also dealt with Tampa last year, right? Weren't they like 2-1 against Tampa last year?
Yeah, I was at the game last year in Tampa where you remember the play where Jordan Eberle and Brock Nelson jumped the gun off the faceoff and tried to get in deep and like Pulock turned it over and they lost the game with like five. It was like less than a minute to go. That was the game I was at. And we lost that one in regulation, but like we were with them lockstep that game.
Yeah, that was such a good game. I think that might have been the same time. No, the Islanders might have been playing. It wasn't that, because the game I'm thinking of was when the Capitals played the Lightning, and it was like 5-4 after like Ovechkin scored like the Ovechkin power play goal, and then Tampa had this like tic-tac, tic-tac, tic-tac. Like, not even – saying tic-tac-toe doesn't do it justice. That's how good the power play goal was.
They're like globetrotters sometimes out there, Tampa.
Oh my God.
Yeah, a little too fancy though, because I mean, now that they're, I remember last year Cooper was saying, because everything was just going their way, and he was saying how the team, you know, hadn't really had to deal with adversary. Adversity. They hadn't had to deal with adversity, and then they just got like gobsmacked by Columbus, and like now they're just off kilter. That team, like, they don't look fast. They were, I mean, the first period they gave the Islanders like four gifts in the slot. They were just throwing the puck to the slot, and there was no one there but Isles to grab the puck. I think even Butch said like they're making tape to tape passes to the Isles in their own zone. I mean, it was crazy. So that team, something's got to give. I would not be surprised if this goes on for another month that you see a change there too in head coach, because something just is not right in Tampa.
They need to go like the other way with a coach now. Like, can't be a player's coach. Got to be like Bruce Boudreau coming in there like screaming his face off for like two seasons and they win like a cup or something. Maybe I don't know. They need a guy to like get them going. They should bring in Torts. Yeah, I mean, Torts probably. Yeah, right? Honestly, he'd be the perfect guy, and he already won a cup there. So
yeah, he won a cup there. But Torts isn't leaving Columbus. I think he wants to get that. He just signed an extension. He's not going anywhere.
But they're not going anywhere. They're Columbus.
They're done.
They're not. I mean, we knew that. But you know what? Like they'll be okay. Give them a little bit of time to kind of, you know, rebuild. I mean, they got gutted. They went for it. I applaud them for that. They knew that this was a real possibility this year, you know, them talking about CBJ, and you know, they got gutted. So yeah, Isles, I mean, again, real good game. 5-1. Bailey had one, Nelson had a pair, Ross Johnston, Anders Lee, like everybody that you want to see scoring is scoring, except for Jordan Eberle. He's still got to kind of get it going, but nice to see this offense that's been struggling put up a five spot. So hopefully they've got a little bit left in the tank. Their next game is Thursday in Sunrise against the Panthers. I will be there. And that is a building filled with nothing but misery. The Isles never play well there. Their fans are complete clowns. All 12 of them are awful. They'll throw beer on you and stuff. Like, it's just stupid. Like, oh, that's awesome. It's just dumb. But
they were okay in the playoffs there.
They what?
They were okay in the playoffs there.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, I just haven't had good experiences. I didn't go see them when they were in the playoffs. I saw a lot of more regular season games. I was doing like the Tampa and Sunrise, but where now it's too much. It's way easier for me to get to Sunrise. So I'm hoping that they've got a little bit left in the tank and they don't, you know, lay an egg. They got to break this win-lose thing. They got to start to put a couple of wins together, give themselves a little bit of a boost. They're still third in the league as far as points go. But Philly's creeping up on us. They're like 3 points back now. I'll still have a game in hand, but the gap we had 2 weeks ago is just not there anymore. Pittsburgh's starting to win. I mean, the Metro, even the Rangers are on the bubble right now. I mean, I know we're only 30 or so games in, but like the Metro is winning. The Atlantic is not. The Atlantic is just complete crap right now, besides the Bruins, who are just beating up on everybody, but nobody else seems to be able to put it together in the Atlantic. It's the Metro that's really winning games. So we'll see what happens. I'd like to see them get on a little bit of a run here. Give me two or three wins. That'd be nice. That'd be nice. Give them a little bit of breathing room.
Yeah. Quickly, I just wanted to go back to, we were talking earlier about Johnston with Barzal and why am I forgetting? Oh, and Bailey. In the last couple of games, as much as Ross Johnston is getting more ice time than he has in the last couple, in the games before he went onto the first line, they're not, you know, playing those four lines every shift. Like, you can see there are times where Tross will send out Barzal with Lee and Eberle, or Lee and Bailey, and they're trying to get something out of it, and you just know that, or I don't know if you know, but for me personally, if that line gets a goal, they're back together like for a couple games. Do you think?
I don't know. It's the lines. There's no consistency to the lines all year, so it's hard for me to say like who's going to be where. I mean, what do you guys think of like where Eberle's going to go?
I mean, right now I'm only confident in like 1.5 lines. I think the only line that I really think consistently looks good when they're all together is Nelson, Bo, and Broussard.
The fourth line also kind of.
And the fourth line, yeah, the fourth line to an extent they've been better, but I still need to see a little bit more out of Matty Martz. I think he's got to, if he's hurt, he's got to shut it down for a couple of weeks. We'll survive without him. We need him 100% for the playoffs. Like, so if he's like, I don't want him at 80% the whole season and the playoffs. I'd rather him shut it down for a little bit, get right. I mean, again, he took the hit with his shoulder. He came back very soon from his injury when the door opened up in Ottawa on him. I mean, I want him healthy. So that line, yeah. But I don't know. I mean, really, there's something missing in this forward group. We've been saying it all year. I think the fact that Trotz has blended the lines, I think the fact that Lou has called up pretty much everyone from Bridgeport to try to fill in, and that's not working. Which, sidebar, Kiefer Bellows is on fire right now. Don't be surprised if he's the next call-up and he gets a shot, because they sat him for a week. He came back, and he is just on a tear. So just side note there, don't be surprised if he's the next call-up. But they've tried everything, and I think right now the answer is not from within. The answer is from the outside, and it's time. It's time to pull the trigger on something. It's time.
But for what, though? It's like, I mean, this guy's
rumored. Well, they got to figure it out. I mean, we could play hypothetical all day long here. I don't get paid to make the trades. Lou Lamoriello does. So it's time to do something. I mean, we could fill this podcast with 7 hours of trade scenarios. I mean, that doesn't do anybody any good. We know who we want. We know who could be out there. And there's a lot of guys that we don't know that are available. I mean, these guys have to be working the phone lines, and I'm sure they are. So I don't pretend to know the inside stuff. I don't pay attention to the rumors. All I'm saying is, it's time to do something a little different. We need to – when this team scores 3 goals, we win games, period. Yeah. End of story. That needs to be the goal for the rest of the season and into the playoffs. We get a forward group that can score 3 goals a game, we win, period. So wherever that's going to be, that it needs to happen. And I think Trotz is kind of – at this point, he's showing Lou, like, what more do you want from me? Like, Dal Cole's in, Komarov's in, this one's playing there, that one's playing there. And nothing's really clicking except for that Nelson line. You know, like, something's gotta give here. We've been saying it, and we're going to keep saying it because it's the obvious deficiency. It's nowhere else. The goaltenders are great. Varley's on fire right now. The D has been solid all year long. You can't ask for anything more from the defense. It's the same thing. We've been saying this in the summertime. We've been saying this. So, you know, that's gotta change. If they're, you know, I know they had that epic point streak, and that was great, and that put them in a spot to more than likely make the playoffs this year. But this group is beyond that. This group is beyond moral victories. This group is beyond, you know, playoff berths. They're due for a run. That's what has to happen. And I don't think as constructed they can do that. But I don't want to get into what I went into last week, because I'll just start going and I won't stop.
That was deep. That little soundbite. Oof, that was too.
But yeah, you're not wrong.
I have a proposition, and I don't want to, because like you said, going into hypotheticals is in terms of players. You know, it's a deep. Deep hole, and we're never going to get out of it.
Right,
but instead, what I want to do is, when we think about additions to the forward group, we're thinking about usually like a top line wing, and at the very least a second line wing. So one of the things that crossed my mind, and what made it cross my mind is JJ Pageau, who I have brought up and have been shut down, and rightfully so, because it's not like there's anything to suggest that the Senators would trade him or the Islanders would want him or whatever. But what that sparked what I'm about to say, which is, do you think that one of the ways to spark the forward group is to instead invest in a above average, or not even above average, very good third line center, or like even like another second line center, cementing the best forward group, the best center, the best four centers in the league probably, and then building from there, like whether it's Brassard on the wing or the guy you bring in playing him on the wing. And I can't think of any at the moment because the show is just filling my head. But and then I'm weighing up the cons and I'm thinking, well, you only have Brassard for a year and now you're betting on him playing right wing. But then I'm thinking, yeah, but you should have Wallstrom next year.
Maybe. Maybe like, you have Wallstrom. I'm not as confident that Wallstrom will be a shoo-in for the lineup next year, just based on what Barry Trotz said after they sent him down, which was like he needs to learn a lot. That he didn't think that he had great coaching ever in his life, which is a little scary. He's got natural ability for sure, but so I don't know about that. Eventually, yeah, he's in the plans for sure, but I don't know about next year. I think what you say makes sense, Ben, because I just get the sense that what this team really needs is something that will cost more than what Lou is willing to give, even at his age, even at where he's at in this stage where, you know, they want to win big, and he went after Artemi Panarin. I don't think that Lou wants to mortgage the future for a rental, and that's fine. I understand the difference in opinion that I have versus somebody like that, but you can't keep doing this and expecting, you know, much to change. I mean, they're essentially the same group they were last year, which is a very good hockey team, but not a great hockey team. I mean, I know we're third in the league and all that, but like, who's above us? The two teams we got to go through to get to the cup. So, you know,
yeah,
that's so. You know, if a third line center is available and they're cheap and they're disposable, where meaning, you know, shorter term, I think maybe that would make sense. But is it more of the same? Is it more like, and I know every team needs this, but I'm going to say it anyway. The Islanders, besides Matt Barzal, they don't have a game breaker. They've got a lot of very good hockey players. They don't have a lot of great hockey players. And they're, you know, they're as a group, they're very efficient and they're very effective. But I think we need a little bit more than that. I think we need a little bit more skill. And I don't think adding a third line piece is going to really do that for us.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Kenny, did you have anything?
I'm just trying to think of, like, you know, all these guys we want to trade for right now. I mean, what's the unrestricted free agent list look like next year? I mean, do you think we can get Taylor Hall in the offseason where he's just waiting? Okay, let's do what we can with the guys that we have this year so we can go out and sign a guy without having to mortgage it for the future. You know, like, could we re-sign Pulak, Barzal, Taves, and get Hall? Like, is that possible?
Well, do you really think that the Islanders are going to land a big free agent?
I think we definitely could. I mean, is there any one team doing more with nothing that a guy like Taylor Hall is like, damn, these guys are already winning. He's got a relationship with Eberle. Why would you not want to play for this organization as far as like coaching and management wise goes? Plus, well, it's like a decent team to jump into, especially with Taylor Hall.
I could give you 30 other arguments. You want me to go out?
Other teams
Anaheim.
Really? Anaheim is one
no,
guy
I'm,
away
no,
from.
That was the first one that, I mean, I'm going alphabetically.
Okay.
I mean,
you're over my, one. Oh, we'll stop it
was,
there.
That was the joke, Kenny. That was the joke. I mean, I just, I've been through this enough to not ever think that the Islanders are going to solve their problems in free agency because they never have. And I know it's different, but it's not. Like, it's still not good enough. There are warmer weather states. There are states without income tax. There are bigger markets. There's so many different aspects of that go into the decision of a free agent that I think these guys, for the most part, when they're heading into free agency, I think they already know the two or three teams that they are definitely considering. Yeah. And the rest is noise. You can't tell me that John Tavares didn't think that he was going back to Toronto. I don't care what he said. He was going back there. He knew what Babcock was. He still went there. Like, you can't tell me that this kid didn't check, didn't hear the stories, didn't know that Babcock was a nightmare to play for. It didn't matter. He was going home. He was going back to his mom. Like, it didn't matter. He was starting his family there. That was the decision, and everything else that you heard out of his mouth was all business. It's the same thing. Matt Duchene had a house. He bought a house in Nashville long before he went there, and everybody knew that he was going to the Preds, and sure enough, that's where he went. So these guys know where they're going. I think that it's foolish to think that you can – I mean, even let's go Artemi Panarin too. Kenny, I told you so many times he's going to the Rangers. Didn't matter, and McKenzie got used and played, and everybody knew it, for the Rangers to pay him a little bit more and to try to sweeten the deal. But we were never in the mix for Panarin. We never were. We were just a pawn. So I just don't see us do – I don't see – why is Taylor Hall going to be any different? You know, yeah. He's still going to have to contend with two arenas for the next year or two, as long as, Barclays gets built on time. But, like, guys don't want to play in two arenas. They just don't. Trotz has said it point blank. He said it. It's a challenge for free agency. So we have to solve our problem through trades and then hope that they like it enough to stay, which many guys do.
Yeah, it's just Taylor Hall's on the worst team that we're going to have a potential trade with, you know? It's like the division rival. Like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, but it's very rare. They're so down in the standings that, yes, we're division rivals and all that, but if we can help them with picks and everything else and help their rebuild, I think it's going to just be whoever's going to give them the best. Like, they're kind of in a bubble right now. They're so bad that they're in a bubble. They just need to get better in the next 3 to 5 years. They're not going to worry about what the Islanders do now. We're not a real threat to us, and we're in a different class right now than they are. So I would hope that wouldn't, that really wouldn't matter. And, hopefully maybe the pedigree with Lou, maybe he can, work his magic a little bit with the Devils. Like, you never know.
Yeah, I'm sure he's got a guy's number over there. But, I just hope to see whatever, if this kid does get traded, that it's not for pennies, because, I remember when, Phil Kessel got traded, I was like, for who? We couldn't have done that. Obviously, I don't know if it was, a real possibility, but I just don't want to see him get traded for, a third-round pick and some marginal prospect where it's like, we could have given him so much more. Like, why couldn't it have been us? That better not happen, dude.
Well, you got to remember, some of these with the no movement clauses and no trade clauses, if we're on that player's list of no-go places, it doesn't matter what we could have done, where Taylor Hall does not have that. So even better for us, it's a little bit of a cleaner, this is what we're offering, take it or leave it kind of thing. But that's Ben. You got anything else you want to add before we move on to loser of the week?
I was looking at the list of free agents, and first of all, I was thinking, why are there so many goaltenders? And then I realized that it was filtered to only goaltenders. But I'm looking, and there are so many guys. I mean, sure, we are not first on anyone's list. I agree with you 100%, Damon. But there are too many guys for none of them to be available. You know? You're looking at – and these are – yeah, exactly. These are – you got Taylor Hall, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Mikko Koivu, not the same level, Mike Hoffman, Wayne Simmonds, Alex Galchenyuk, Carl Soderberg, not same level. Kenny's a free agent next year.
Great. God.
Tyler Toffoli, Namesnikov, Dadonov, Cahoon, Reinhardt, Dubois, both Stroms. Fuck Ryan Strome. Andre Burakovsky, Anthony Mantha. They're just none of these guys are the guy, except for maybe Taylor Hall. But there are just so many that it's hard to envision that it's impossible for any of them to come.
Right. And half those names are going to get taken off the board because they're going to re-sign, before July 1. But that picture is going to develop a lot closer towards the end of the season, and we'll know who the real sellers are as we get closer to the trade deadline. So again, I don't want to turn this into too much of a speculative podcast. We know that the need needs to be addressed, and Lou's a smart guy. Hopefully he's looking into it. But again, I think the very first podcast we had, first or second, I said, has Lou done enough in the summer? And I'm going to just continue with that until I think that he makes a move that benefits the team. And we're in a great position, much better position than we were 2 years ago. But again, I don't want to ruin this window by being too cautious. And that you can be just as detrimental to your team if you're too cautious than if you're too aggressive. So you gotta play that fine line. But I think he's too cautious right now. So, all right, let's go to. I'm not even gonna say his name because I'm not gonna give him any hits. I just want to call out his stupidity. This is a gentleman from Toronto who's got a betting show who called the Islanders frauds, said that we would not make the playoffs, said the same thing that everybody said last year about goaltending not being sustainable, about Corsi. We get out Corsi to every game and blah, blah, blah. He said that the Lightning were going to beat us, take the Lightning on the bet. Well, obviously, we know what happened. I'll smoke them 5-1. I want to play an audio clip of him doubling down on his stupidity, if you'll amuse me, gentlemen.
Wait, hold on. Let me just quickly preface this. He thinks that this is an apology. Okay, go.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. Ready?
Hey, what's going on? As you know, I bet against the Islanders last night. The Islanders ended up going on to beat Tampa Bay, and since then, I've kind of received a steady stream of hate from Islanders fans. So I just wanted to make a quick video. I just wanted to apologize. I honestly did not know that the Islanders had more than like 5 fans. So I honestly didn't know that. That's on me. I thought New York had 2 hockey teams, just like an ego thing, because they just had to have 2 teams in every major sport. I didn't know Islanders fans existed. I thought maybe there was some like Brooklyn hipsters who like the Islanders ironically, but I didn't know there was an actual Islanders fan base. So hey, that's on me. I apologize for not knowing that, but I just wanted to congratulate you guys on your win, and I did also learn that you guys are a very passionate fan base, which I kind of respect. Now, it's the kind of passion that a baby with a dirty diaper has, but it's passion nonetheless, so I respect that. I love you all. I hope you have a good day. Your Islanders are still frauds.
And then what you don't see is he points the camera down, and he's wearing a Toronto Maple Leafs sweater. Shocking. Ken, I know you haven't heard this yet, so before we get into Ben's opinions, I need your raw reaction.
Yeah.
I don't know. He just doesn't sound like he plays sports. I don't know if that really matters or not. I just don't like his voice. I just don't – like, we have 2 teams because it's an ego thing. Or the population of the area support. Like, I don't know, dude. This guy sounds like a moron. And, obviously he's just upset that his team's not even in the playoffs right now with all that money spent on 4 players. So, good luck with that.
His co-host on his show basically said that to him. And they're like, wouldn't you rather be in the playoffs? And his response was, because I had to watch it because this guy now. and he goes, No. We're set. We've got Matthews. We've got Tavares. We've got Nylander. We've got Marner. We're set. And the other co-host, who's like a Penguins fan, is like, but if the season ended today, you would not be set. You'd be out. So, I mean, imagine living in a world where you haven't won a cup since 1967. You have to pay like $8 million. That's a lot of loonies and toonies up in the greater Toronto area. Imagine living in a world where you're happy about that, where you're happy that, you know, you have to overpay for tickets to see a mediocre product on the ice who threatens the wives of players when they're not playing well, who throw waffles on the ice, who basically just make complete fools of themselves and then call out New Yorkers because they booed their savior, Jonathan Tavares. I mean, it's sickening, and it just goes to show you, I think that the Maple Leafs are a greater rival, at least from the fans' perspective, than even the New York Rangers at this point. I think that if we ever played the Maple Leafs again in a playoff series, it would just be like World War III.
We would bury them. Dude, they can't play.
This yeah, but it doesn't matter. They have to win games
6-4. This isn't, dude, like, we would just beat them up. Like, we would literally push them around. Like, give us your lunch money. Like, what is Tavares going to do? He guy looks like he's skating in quicksand. Like, give me a break, dude. He's the guy. No. Your goaltending sucks.
You're salty, eh? You're salty New Yorker, eh? You're a Brooklyn hipster, eh?
And I got to be honest. Like, as much as like, Tavares left, like, fuck him. But at some point, I can't say. I was about to say you almost feel for him, and you don't, but he's the captain of the team with, if not the biggest, then one of the biggest fan bases in the league. And all eyes are on him, and he gets, like, beaten up, and his players don't back him up. He gets no support. I'm not talking about in terms of points, in terms of, like, good players. I'm talking about, like, when he got hit in the Islanders game, which was a legal hit, but a big hit. I forget who it was. It was probably Matt Martin. Or it might have been, you know, like, two or three.
It was like Mayfield or something.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Is like, maybe Scotty. Martin once, but Mayfield hit him harder. Like, he doesn't get picked up by anyone. If that happened on the Islanders, the guys on the ice wouldn't play the next game. I think it happened last year under Trotz, and it might have been like Hickey was dumped and like Ladd and Bailey or something were on the ice, and they just like didn't play for the rest of the period. That shit just you can't do that in this league, and you can't not have each other's backs. You can't play for yourselves. And so when you talk about would you rather be the Islanders team in the playoffs or the Maple Leafs team that not in the playoffs, it goes deeper than that, because I'd rather be a fan of a team that has each other's backs.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they haven't learned that yet though, Ben. Like, you're starting to see it bubble up now. But you don't realize it when you know, JT becomes the captain, the team basically takes on his identity. He's not a rah-rah guy. He's a quiet, like almost like solemn individual. And the team just has no energy around that. Like, he's just not going to do that for you. So the fans will realize sooner rather than later that yes, JT is a talented individual, but as good as he is as a player, I think he is just a terrible leader because he's just too conservative. He's too quiet. He's the robot. He's a robot. So they'll see that. They'll realize that. I had to get this kid's quote on there because it's amazing how delusional some Maple Leafs fans are. And I love the fact that they're going to have to cancel their parade for the second year in a row. There's a lot of ticker tape that they're going to have to like just keep in storage. Like, I hope that storage costs aren't high in Toronto, because
dude, this kid's not a hockey fan. He's just a Toronto Maple Leaf dweeb who thinks it's more like fun to have two all-stars on your team, but your team suck. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's one of those guys, Matthews is leading the league in points. You know, it's like, you're never going to win an argument with an idiot like this. You know,
right,
like,
right.
Your team is the softest bunch of bitches I've ever seen in my entire life. I mean, who is going to, like Ben said, I mean, what's going to happen if Johnson goes out there and runs over Tavares? Is Nylander going to take off his cool fake glasses and his pink beanie and drop the who's doing anything?
I know, right?
Their team's not built for the playoffs. If you even make it, you're you know, like, this isn't the all-star game, dude. You can't. Mitch Marner's not scoring a point a game in the playoffs. It's gonna get smeared. They don't play structured. They don't even have a coach. It's a disaster. But it doesn't matter because Toronto just makes money. It's like the Rangers. They're like the Ranger fans of Canada. Toronto, that's what they are.
Yeah,
they're just it doesn't matter.
Right. It's a business. It's high, you know, that's all it is. It has nothing to do with like winning tradition, because neither of those teams, I mean, they've won two cups together like since like what in like the last like 100 and something years. Like both franchises are very similar. They can't get out of their own way. I want to end it on this, at least for me. My final opinion on this is, this goes back to the analytics community not understanding where to put the Islanders, because we break all their models. And this kid's whole point when he started this and when he got just dogpiled on by Islander fans was how he was saying that the Corsi and the goaltending can't keep up and blah, blah. Well, how many years can you hear this before you just think that the person's an idiot? Like, this is the Ryan Lambert argument from last year. And as much as I can't stand that kid, like, I just cannot put up with him at all. At least he didn't have a large amount of data to go off of. He was making his claims about the same time, or maybe a little bit later in the season when the Islanders started really putting it together, and he was saying how it's not sustainable, blah, 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 the same thing. And then he got piled on by Islander fans, and he throws the JT thing. Then they started insulting New York. And it's like, get your own shtick. I mean, if you're going to do this, at least come up with your own material, because we've seen this already. Fans. And the last guy was wrong, and now you're going to be wrong too. So I think this just comes down to the fact that Barry Trotz sees your data and really does not care. It's always been about quantity, and the analytics community doesn't know how to handle it. So that's what this kid is dealing with, and now he'll make it personal, and that's fine. I just had to get him on there, so that's
There's
it.
There's no I'm facts done. In any of his argument, though. Like, Corsi, does a team with the best Corsi win the cup every year? Is it that rock hard, the evidence, where it's like, we don't need coaches anymore? You could just run numbers and be like, this isn't a computer game, dude, all right? Go back to NHL 19 GM mode and, you know, construct your set franchise. Show me exactly how it's done, because you have four guys getting paid $40 million. Cool, dude. Good luck winning a cup like that. I mean... And then you're going to make fun of our fans? Like, come, dude, give me a break. Like, we have any control over the people that watch the franchise? Or, you know, it's like, that's – concentrate on the ice, dude, and don't use Corsi to break down hockey. Why don't you just, like, look at the game and tell me what you think? But you don't have – you probably don't have any experience, like, skating or knowing what it looks like out there, pretend, you know, at the most basic level. So this guy is just a loser.
There it is. Because we were talking before the show, like, for those of you listening, Kenny is the outlandish one in the group. The more likely to make comments that might have to be edited. And right. So maybe you haven't heard them because I've edited them. or maybe you've missed them because I think Kenny maybe has been putting on a little bit of a mask to show that. So I'm glad you let it out, because that raw reaction that Damon was looking for, gotta be honest, Ken, I was a little bit underwhelmed.
I just need a couple minutes to digest, like, how bad of a franchise they are. It's like, I don't really care. Toronto's not relevant to us, you know, because we're looking at teams that are, like, a threat. And I don't think they're you know how bad Boston would bounce them? They're not going to get to us. Like, it's – they're a joke. They're a joke.
I wish they would. We would bounce them too, like just the same as Boston would.
We would bounce them in like, 5 games. It would be 5 games. Yeah. They would win like 1 game at home, and we would just beat them up. They're not a good matchup. We're built for the playoffs. Yeah. They're built for the regular season, and it ain't even working out right now. Yeah. You think it's like, come on.
No. I'd rather be fraudulent than shitty. So.
It's gonna be the series like a couple months before I was born, except we're better, and they're worse.
Their defense is so bad. It's so bad. Cody Ceci, Jake Muzzin, Tyson Barrie, Travis Dermott, Martin Moranson, and Justin Hall. Who?
Hall.
It's funny Hall. Because...
Oh, whoops.
Hall. It's Hall.
Wow.
What a team. Like, I know. They can't even keep a 23-man roster because they're in cap hell. Like, it's a joke. That thing is going to implode. And it's a good thing you've got a high character individual like Jonathan Tavares to make sure that you're.
They should just make Nylander the captain. Right, they should just do it. Like, imagine if they strip Tavares and they just make that guy the captain. They might as well.
It's funny, Kenny, because when I was looking at the free agent list, I saw Tyson Barrie, and for a second, my like NHL 17 GM mode, like just like this guy we're talking about, was like. Hey, like, he's a good defenseman. Obviously, I'm not looking at defensemen because, you know, Islanders don't need defensemen. But I was thinking of, like, oh, he was good back in the day. And
I wouldn't mind him. Like, I would trade them, you know, Letty for Barrie. because I feel like no. Barry probably does the same
thing. Well, Barry, you don't know what you have in Tyson Barry, because yeah, he's struggling. He struggled under Mike Babcock. Big surprise. Everybody struggles under him. So, you'll see. Yeah, we'll see what happens with him. But all right. Well, look, I want to keep the controversy going, and I want to close out the show with the last topic that set Twitter on fire, and it's been wonderful to see. And it's really, it's our okay boomer moment. It's our Marvel Civil War moment. It is the Islander fan base is torn, and it's just something great to see. So the New York Islanders released a line of official fisherman gear. They had the jersey last year, and they've been kind of testing the waters with that. And then they came up with like 6 or 7 really nice hats. In fact, my friend went over to the team store today and got one for me because I love them so much. So you know where I stand on this. But basically, the fans either can't stand anything with the fishermen. They just hate it, hate it, hate it. It's a symbol for everything that we aren't, and teams made fun of us, and they'll chant fish sticks and all this other crap. And then you've got the kids and the fans who think, hey, the best way to turn something around like that is to embrace it and to make it your own, and it doesn't matter what happened in the past because it's a totally different team. So I wanted to get your take on it. Obviously, you guys know from what I'm saying that I like the jersey. I think it's an incredible color scheme for alternate sweaters. I think the Islanders' colors with that teal added is just really nice.
Sick.
I think that it's time. So real quick, and this is anecdotal evidence, of course, but my friend was there today, Tuesday at noon at Northwell, the pro shop at Northwell Ice. And he said that the place was mobbed. They were sold out of a few of the hats already. He said the line was massive. He's like, it's Tuesday at noon. Where are these people coming from? He said it was nuts. So if the Islanders are putting their feelers out and they're getting the response they're getting with the fishermen, don't be surprised if that jersey starts coming back out, because it won't matter if some of the people are angry. They're going to be the vocal minority. The numbers are the numbers. They can move merchandise and they will sell a ton of fisherman jerseys. When they go official, and you can get a Barzy or a Bailey or a Nelson or a Lee. I mean, forget it. They're going to make bank. Your thoughts?
I'd be first online for a jersey, and I'm looking at that. I didn't know this was a thing until I just looked at it while as you were describing it. But the first set of pictures, that like all teal one, that hat, I'd buy that hat like right now. I'm looking at maybe. I like the beanie too. That's pretty sweet for the winter.
The beanie's all sold out. The teal one, the teal snapback with the teal brim. That's the one I wanted. Sold out. Like they're moving product here. Like,
dude, the jerseys. Oh my god, that would be. Listen, it's cool because we're so good right now. It's like, yeah, let's beat you with fish stick jerseys on, dude. I love it. The colors are. I made my business these colors. Like. My logo and business is literally the Islanders retro color. So, like, I have a huge 7x14 sign on my trailer. That's the exact same color as that teal hat.
Yeah,
like,
dude, my business logo is the same color scheme, too. Mine's blue-orange with a little bit of teal in it. It's like...
Yeah, dude, let's go, man. Those jerseys only sucked because we were so bad. If we were first place in the league, it probably would have not been cool, but... Mm-hmm. Those are cool colors now. Like everything else.
And Ben,
we're not
keeping you from speaking yet. It's just that you weren't even alive when we were dealing with this, so you get to go last on this. But
no,
I promise
you'll have
your turn.
I'm fine listening to.
I promise.
Let's hear. What
now,
do you think? Yeah.
Here's how you take this and you shove it in the face of every other fan base and every Islander fan who's too scared and who doesn't have the guts to bring these jerseys out. First of all, it's a third jersey. It's fun. Alternate colors are fun. I don't mind the third jersey we have now, but it's boring. It's inoffensive. It's the same colors. It's not even orange. It's a blue jersey. Like, we need something a little bit more. Now, here's
the helmets
how you
and gloves
take
and the pants. How sick you could get with the color
beautiful
combinations, dude. Come
beautiful
on.
Now, here's what I'll say. Here's what I'll say. This is how you take it and you shove it in everybody else's face. When the Islanders wear those jerseys, all the Isles fans have to do is chant, "We want fish sticks," as loud as they possibly can, and let that be our war cry. Like, what's wrong with that? I don't see how you go wrong with that.
Five bowls of fish sticks or something, you know?
I think we've got our intro.
We dude, five want piece fish sticks. Sticks. Five piece fish sticks. Let's go.
Anyway, your takes are solid. I don't disagree with either of them. I am honestly, I don't even know what I think of the fishermen. What I do in terms of the design, I'm like somewhere in the middle, which is like I'm one of zero other people who think that about the fishermen. The hats I'm in love with. The jerseys I'm like somewhere in between. I don't know why I can't make a decision. I'm just like that. But my take on it is more from a business standpoint. When you talk about merchandise, all business is good business. Islanders, if the fisherman becomes the Islanders' next jersey, Islanders fans who don't like the fishermen are not going to stop liking the Islanders. That's not how fandom works. Islanders fans who love the fishermen are going to A, buy jerseys, B, go to more games, C, be more into the team, and D, all of the above. And what does that spell? More money, more advertisement, more fans. You can't go wrong. All business is good business. Like when you think about, for example, LeVar Ball, you should know who I'm talking about when I say LeVar Ball, but if you don't, LeVar Ball is a dad of a bunch of basketball players, one of whom used to play for the Lakers. He got traded, and I don't know to who because I don't like basketball.
Yes, his son's Le'Veon, we know. I'm kidding. That's a joke. Le'Veon Bell. Joke.
Anyway, Ball, as in A, as yes. In like the same mistake that Kenny made. I know you were being facetious, but it was still funny. Anyway. He also has got sons that are going to be in the draft and whatever, and that's not the point. He's an asshole. Like, he is 100% an asshole. He talks about how his sons are the best, and of course that's like, you know what, I guess a good dad move to, you know, to advocate for your sons, but he does it in a very arrogant way. And he also started a shoe brand called Big Baller Brand for his sons and for anyone else who wants to, I mean, who they think will make money, you know, like Nike, Adidas, whatever. And they sell for a shit ton of money, like Yeezy money, I think. I could be wrong about that. And please tell me you know what Yeezys are.
Yes, we know.
Okay, good. Anyway.
I never, ever wanted that mentioned on the podcast. So now there goes my one wish. So
I apologize. Anyway. Weird, you know, people have conversations about whether he's like a good dad, whether it's good for business. How could it not be good for business? People who can't like afford the shoes are not going to buy the shoes. And people who think it's cool are going to buy the shoes. They're not going to lose money because he's an asshole. In fact, they might gain money because he's an asshole. Now, the Islanders aren't being assholes by releasing the fisherman jersey. It's a lot lower stakes. They're publishing something that's controversial, but is a win-win situation because those who like it are going to love it and are going to be more vocal about it. And those who don't like it might be vocal about it, but it's not like they're not going to be fans. There's really no loss in bringing back the fishermen. And it's like you said about you and Kenny, like you're in love with it. And what you said about the store being packed and a few of the hats are already sold out, it's just proving my point. They're making so much money that they wouldn't otherwise make. And it's, I think, coinciding, to go on a tiny bit of a tangent, with their recent pickup in PR, which I talked about on my solo show, which was at the time where they got in Damian Woody.
Mm-hmm. Can
you know about this?
I don't know.
Okay, so Damian Woody, I didn't actually know this, but he works for ESPN, and he tweeted something along the lines of, like, why can't there be any good New York teams? And the Islanders fans, and then the Islanders, got on his ass. They were like, what are you talking about? We're on at that point, it was like a 9-game winning streak or something like that. Yep. And so not only did they, you know, the Islanders Twitter respond, but they got him to come to a game. He did an interview with Shannon Hogan.
Dude, he's been to two games now, and he's tweeting about the Isles while they're playing. Like, he's in.
It's brilliant publicity, and when, you know, it seems like he's a real fan, which is awesome, but the point isn't really whether he's a real fan. The point is that you got a guy who's I think like a Sports Center or something, and a guy who didn't know about the Islanders, and you got him into the Islanders, and that is a recipe for success. It's a recipe for bringing in more fans. It is brilliant that it is coinciding with Belmont, and it's brilliant that it's coinciding with hopefully what's going to be a good business decision and bringing back the Fishermen. So just A+ to the Islanders. Their Twitter's gotten better. Their PR has gotten better. And their business model is getting better. Yep. And it's at the same time that Lou is coming in and Barry's coming in. It's just good across the board.
I know, but dude, did we just fix our Corsi?
Yeah. Well, no, don't derail this, because Ben set that up perfectly. Because I want to say that where we are right now as a franchise is not even in the same universe, galaxy, whatever, as we were in the mid-90s. I highly, highly, highly recommend We Want Fish Sticks, the book by Nick Hershon. It is a fantastic read. If you didn't grow up around the Islanders in that era, you really owe it to yourself to get that book. The holidays are coming up. Definitely grab it. Cannot recommend it enough. What that book really illustrates is, you know, you have to remember that. So Rangers win the cup in 94, right? They sweep the Islanders in the playoffs. They make they make the Isles a complete joke in the playoffs. Ron Hextall was the Isles goalie. Rangers put up like 7 goals on him every night. I know, because I went to one of those games. Okay. So the Islanders ownership was changing. They wanted something fresh. They wanted something new. They wanted something different, in the hopes that that would change the culture of the team. And of course, they were at the beginning of their downturn with Milbury taking over and all this other stuff going on. They had no money. They played in a dump building. It was a dump in 95. They wanted this to change the culture of the team, where now it is completely different. The culture of the team has been changed from within, with competent and solid ownership, with a new state-of-the-art arena coming down the pipeline, with a Hall of Fame GM and a Hall of Fame coach running the team. This now can be a fun thing. It does not need to be anything more than fun. It's a good look. It's a fun thing that they'll wear maybe 8 to 10 games out of the entire season. It's not going to kill you if you don't like it. You'll still see the Islanders wearing their traditional jerseys for 70 plus games and probably throughout the playoffs. So there's no reason why this can't be fun. And it doesn't need to be the exact same thing. There was a picture that was photoshopped before the current third jerseys were released, and it was Matt Barzal, and the person photoshopped Barzy wearing the white jersey. And they took the Islander crest off. They put the fisherman on it. They put the lighthouse shoulder patches, which is still a phenomenal logo. That lighthouse shoulder patch is awesome. Ooh. Put those on there. And all they did, it was the same Islander jersey. They just added a thin line of teal on top of the blue and orange stripe. And just that alone looked so good to see Barzy wearing that, like in like a current jersey scheme. So you don't even have to go all out with the waves and the crazy numbers and all that. I want that, but they could keep it a little bit more subdued and just add the logo and add the teal. Teal can be a great third color option for this team besides the blue and orange, and not change anything. Just give us a little bit of a different look, a different marketing appeal. And again, it's a totally different situation than it was back then. So I think it's fun. I think you run with it. And you know what? I was in school when we wore the fisherman jerseys, and I was ridiculed, and the team was trash. And yes, it sucked, but who cares? The team sucked because the team sucked. The team didn't suck because they weren't wearing the jerseys, and we're not asking them to change the jerseys. We're just asking to throw a fun third jersey in there. So that's my take on that. I cannot believe how offended people are one way or the other. But that's kind of the climate of the country now anyway. Everything offends everyone, so you got to pick a side and hate the other person for it. But my God, to see the stuff on Twitter with people, if you like the fisherman jersey, you're an idiot, you don't have any sense of history. If you don't like the fisherman jersey, then it's okay, boomer, and you're a moron who just likes tradition and history and doesn't want to have anything, it is afraid of change. It's like, guys, like, we can have a happy middle ground here, but it's just wild. So I thought we needed to talk about it because of just the firestorm that's been, you know, the last 2 weeks or so. But merchandise is moving. I think we're heading to that as a third jersey. I really do.
That would be fun. Like, I know we're talking about the marketing and about how we'd love it, but just, like, the players would have fun. Like, you know what I mean? Like, whether just the idea of Barzal wearing that jersey, it excites us. Don't you think it would excite Barzal too?
Yeah, well, wasn't Lee, didn't Anders Lee go on eBay and find an old starter 1995 fisherman hat and bought it and was wearing it in the locker room? Like, he did that on his own. They didn't have merch. He went out and bought one of those things. So, like, they're obviously having fun too with it. I don't know. Kenny, you got anything you want to add before we shut this thing down?
I mean, I think it's definitely a good thing. Like you said, I mean, I feel like the more people that talk about how bad it is, the more it's going to spread and the more sales they're going to make. I mean, at this point, anything Islanders is just going to shed light to how good our team's doing. Who cares about the jersey? I mean, people love it, man. No one's lining up for a regular Islander hat, so this isn't hurting anything, in my opinion. And my dog's going to bark in a second, so I'm going to mute.
Perfect. Well, I will say this. I'm going to the game on Thursday. I can either wear my Seattle Thunderbirds Matt Barzal Jr. jersey, or I could wear a Darius Kasparaitis fisherman jersey. I don't know what I want to wear, but I don't know. The thought of wearing fish sticks now kind of excites me.
Ooh, do it. Go for it. Oh, you'll get ridiculed, but do it anyway. You're used to it when you were a kid, I guess.
Oh, yeah, I don't care. It doesn't bother me at all. Like, not in the least. Like,
go for it. Because yeah. Barzal already knows that you have the Thunderbirds jersey, and if you don't know about that, listen to the only one of our podcasts that got adequate amount of views.
Yes, it's true. It's true. All right, boys, so what do you think? You think we're going to take this game in Sunrise?
We have to.
I mean, that's a little strong. I don't know if we have to.
No, I know. Yeah, nice. I don't mean like it's crucial that we do. I don't know. I just can't. I feel bad betting against this team. They've been too good for us not to. Right?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't know. We've been so inconsistent this month so far. It's kind of hard to peg like how this is going to shake out. Are we going to go another 5-game winning streak, or is this going to be like a 500 month?
I mean, yeah. Well, they've been chilling in Florida for like 2 days now, so they're going to be. Florida's got a funny way of making you lose your edge real quick. So I don't know. We'll see. I think they can put it together. I think they realize, because I mean, you look at the schedule. They're at Florida on Thursday. They're home for Buffalo 1 o'clock on Saturday. Then Tuesday home for Nashville before they go into Boston on Thursday. So it's not an easy schedule. I mean, there's some winnable games there, but. You got to put the points in the bank when you can. So I'd like to see them with a strong effort against Florida and Buffalo. And then, you know, we'll see what happens with Nashville and Boston. But yeah, it'd be nice to see them. I'd love to see a win there. It's very rare. I think I've maybe seen one win, and I'm not even talking just the Isles. Even when we go to see the Flyers play there, the Flyers look just like the Islanders when they're in Sunrise. They look like crap. They never score. They just look tired and slow. And it's like, I think I've gone to like 20 games in Sunrise and I've maybe seen one or two wins total. So
I saw an Islanders win in Sunrise.
Well, that's rare. That's very rare. Good, man. That's solid. I've not.
Honestly, I forget when it was.
the last time I saw them win was last year, actually. Like that was, and then before that, before that was it. Like, I can't even remember the last time. I'm sure there was one or two, but like, I mean, I'm talking going back to like, you know, I mean, I've been down in Florida for almost 10 years now. So at least one game a year. Plus, I used to go when I was on vacation. So, like, I've seen a bunch out there, and it's just always miserable. So, we'll see. We'll see. I know we've been running long here, but we had some fun stuff to cover. We had a couple of games to really get into. So, you know, again, they're playing average hockey. I'd like to see them step it up a little bit. Again, start putting some wins together. Anything else you guys want to add before we head out?
You know, it just occurred to me, Damon.
What?
We're talking about the Islanders PR and also about the Leafs rivalry. That's good for publicity too. We're talking about a rivalry with the team with probably the biggest news coverage in the league. And when we talk about, you know, the big teams in American sports, and you think about the Patriots and the Leafs and by this point for the last couple of years, the Golden State Warriors. And I know that I'm forgetting a couple because I'm exhausted, so bear with me.
Every team but from Boston, basically.
Boston. Those teams you love or you hate. So there's a couple – there are a lot of people who are starting to hate the Islanders right now because of the Tavares thing and, you know, not like proper hate, but, you know, like hate on Twitter and hate on Instagram, yeah. And people talking shit about us and the Corsi thing. But when people start to hate you and it coincides with you being good, which is not a coincidence, people also start to like you.
Yes.
And that can't be bad for business, especially when we're building a 17,000-seat arena.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's a great time to embrace the fishermen. But no, I hear you. I mean, Hockey Central at noon, which is a great show, Jeff Marek and Chris Stewart and Justin Bourne, they do an amazing job, and they're based in Toronto, and they talk a lot about the Leafs, but they cover a lot of the league as well, and they are always mentioning the Islanders because we're just such a different, like, on paper, like, we couldn't be any more different than the Leafs. Like, we have a roster on paper that is poor compared to the Leafs, which is, you know, incredible, but yet look at what's happened, and our play styles are so different. Coaching philosophy is so different. So they get mentioned a lot. So I'm sure Toronto is just sick and tired of us beating them up and finishing ahead of them and all that. So it's just starting to get going. I think this is a rivalry that's going to last, you know, I think the duration of JT's contract. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
Oh, I have one more thing.
Yeah.
It's quick though. I want to know, who is next on your Islanders Christmas list? In terms of, like, if you were to get a jersey for Christmas, who's the Islander that's next on your list that you just want to wear them on your back?
Josh Bailey Fisherman.
I wanted a Pulock last year, but I may or may not have ordered it off a special website that the jersey didn't come too correct. So I've wanted a Pulock for a while. So probably Pulock next, or Beauvillier.
I was thinking Beauvillier too.
I have a Bovey jersey, but it's a damn 72. I got it right during the summer.
That's cooler,
like,
though.
I literally bought it, and 5 days later, he changed his number to 18. I was like, argh!
Well, the thing is that 18 is like one of my favorite numbers because 18 is a soccer player who is like my idol growing up. If you happen to know him, Paul Scholes, just my soccer idol growing up.
Nope.
But I was thinking about Villiers, and I was also thinking, like, is it too early to want to get a Noah Dobson jersey?
No, not really.
I love the kid. He only played like 8 minutes two nights ago, but I thought he played really well. When you look at Carey Haber's like game score, and I know it's based on stats, which we've been ridiculing the whole night. But his average game score is like the fourth highest on the Islanders after Barzal, Beauvillier, and I want to say Nelson. Barzal, Beauvillier, and someone who maybe Cizikas? I can't think of it at the moment. But he's just tearing it up and not getting ice time. And it sucks because the Islanders have six really good defensemen, and, well, they have seven really good defensemen. I just want to see Dobson more. Whenever he plays, I just love them over and over again.
Yeah, he's developing. He'll get there. I think you can't go wrong either way. I think Beauvillier, I would go with a Beau jersey just because he's been playing so well this season. You got plenty of time to get a Dobson jersey. But
Did you see him turn Stamkos, like, inside out, like, multiple times? Like, not just once, but, like, had him, like, literally, you know, I think he was maybe out there for a little while. He might have been tired, but Beauvillier is just so nasty.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun to watch. What a draft, man! Getting Barzy and Bo in the same round, like unbelievable.
Garth Snow, baby.
That's not
underrated GM in the world, dude.
It's a staff right now. All right, we've been running way long here, so I'm wrapping it up. I'm not getting into Garth Snow next week. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening. Again, we're available Anchor FM, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes. Like us on Facebook. Hit us up on Twitter at @LISound_ and at @KaijuBlue13. I'm Damon. Somewhere out there is Ben. Somewhere out there is Kenny. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you guys next week. Later.